The market is moving fast. And all of that speed puts you right in the middle of the action.
I feel the need for speed.
Trying to pick out the stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs that are your real targets from the ones that will make your portfolio crash and burn. Investment research firm New Constructs looks for the telltale signs in corporate filings that show which way a security will move next.
Warning, warning.
Whether it is flying a true course or misleading the investment public about its prospects.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
New Constructs separates all securities into those that are attractive and the ones that are, well, dangerous.
Danger, danger.
Every Monday on Money Life, company president David Trainer shoots down one security whose actions he thinks have it headed for trouble.
What you have done is wrong.
Whether you simply sell it or get aggressive and sell it short, you'll want to know which securities to have on your radar as Money Life enters
the danger zone.
Now it's time for our weekly journey into the danger zone. David Trainer is the president of New Constructs. He joins us each week at this time to discuss a security, or it could be a stock, it could be a mutual fund, it could be an ETF, more, that comes up on the wrong side, on the dangerous side of New Constructs research. The dangerous side, well, New Constructs evaluates securities on a scale from most attractive to most dangerous. And typically what makes something attractive is that it's being overlooked, that there are numbers out there that perhaps present a bad picture. But when you dig in at the footnotes level and work your way up, you see, wow, things are better here than it might otherwise appear. And dangerous, well, that's the reverse of that. That's numbers that are misleading, that make a stock look good when it shouldn't look so good. If you want to find out more about the process and how they do it at New Constructs, newconstructs.com, on Twitter, at New Constructs. David Trainer, welcome back to Money Life.
Great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
Traditional corporate consulting.
Traditional corporate consulting. Now, this is not like traditional corporate consulting, TCC Corporation. This is about processes that you are looking at different companies. I know that you have some examples, both on the good side and the bad side, but why would traditional corporate consulting be what amounts to a red flag that puts somebody into the danger zone?
So, you know, let's think about a little bit of history here. And, you know, look, in this business, you can't be afraid to pat yourself on the back because nobody else would do it. But the danger zone picks have done extremely well in 2015 and so far in 2016. So we talk a lot about what companies do wrong. We rely a lot of times as a society, too often, I think, on consulting groups to tell us how to do things right. And part of the problem, the reason we're seeing so many of these companies, especially new companies, doing things the wrong way, is because we think the traditional consultant's toolkit is missing really a super important tool. So we've done some case studies and done some work on what is a better way to manage a business? What is a better way to advise corporate clients as to how to manage their business? For example, with Oracle, they have employed a strategy that focuses on growing accounting earnings by acquisition while ignoring their return on invested capitals or their real cash flows. We did a case study on this and we showed, listen, over time, not only do we see a very high correlation with return on invested capital and valuation, but currently we see that return on invested capital for Oracle and its peer group explains over 90% of the differences in valuation among those peers. And Oracle's trading at a discount to its peers, despite having one of the higher returns on invested capital in the country and in the world, and even among its peer group, because that return on capital has been heading down, even while accounting earnings are going up. And we see this a lot in the danger zone stocks as well. Sometimes accounting earnings aren't even going up, but don't get me wrong, but the non-GAAP earnings are going up,
right.
Revenues are going up, companies are spending a lot to acquire companies, but they're not focusing on cost, they're not focusing on efficiency. And so what we're saying is that traditional consulting firms no longer have an excuse to give advice that doesn't focus on return on invested capital, because we're now able to calculate that in a highly rigorous apples-to-apples way across a large number of companies, so the consultants can now use it in the way that they ought to be using it.
How can an average investor, and maybe they can't, look at a company and go, wait, I see what's happening here. They've got their consultants. I want to call shenanigans.
You know, it's hard to know what the consultants are telling them. I think that the best thing to do is to sort of do what we do, which is go in and point out, what is the return on capital? How does it compare to peers? Why has it been trending? What's the potential if it improves? That's all you can do unless you know the consultants, unless you know what's going on, or unless they report on what they're doing in their filing. Typically, it's hard to find out what that's about. But what you can figure out is whether or not the company focuses on ROIC, because if they mean it, and this is part of our case study and our advice to Oracle. This is actually, and that case study was written as an open letter to Larry Ellison. And one of the key things we say is, listen, if you can just stop the bleeding, if you can keep your return on invested capital at its current level at 23%, that's a $24 billion improvement in your market cap. Because right now, the market price implies it's going to go from 23 to 19. But more importantly, the way you ensure that you get rewarded by the market for that focus is by communicating to the market that you care about return on invested capital, that it's linked to compensation, and it's the lens through which you make all your capital budgeting decisions. There are a couple companies that we've highlighted over time that do a good job of that. One of them, as an example, is AutoZone, which we put in the opposite of the danger zone, our long ideas bucket, last August.
Right.
And it's up significantly, while the S&P is up only 8%. AutoZone's been up 43%. And they actually say in their annual report that they focus on ROIC. It's the way they manage their business. Another company that actually gets an attractive rating now, Target, specifically talks about return on invested capital and even speaks to how an acquisition they made will be accretive to return on invested capital, which we almost never see. So there are companies out there doing it well, and you can see it in the filings if you're reading the fine print. Most people don't have time to do that, which is what we're here for. But in general, you know, we found for the entire market, nothing explains valuation better than return on invested capital. If you can encourage management to focus on that, if you believe that they will focus on that, you've got a much better chance for that stock to go up.
I fear for the average investor that they're going to hear this and go, okay, it makes complete sense to me. I just wish I could identify the red flag and find it all the time. And that's the hard part here. Ultimately, what it brings them back to is, although we're putting traditional corporate consulting in the danger zone, it's maybe the process and ultimately how any of these clients wind up looking at return on invested capital, et cetera, that winds up being the red flag, right?
That's right. I mean, you want management to focus on what creates shareholder value. And there has been a large and growing disconnect between what management focuses on and what helps shareholders for a long time. You know, that's why we put non-GAAP earnings in the danger zone. You see a lot of executives these days getting paid based on performance benchmarks that overlook all kinds of costs that come out of shareholder pockets, but don't come out of their pocket because they don't have to be accountable for it. They're going to get paid regardless of how big the acquisition was, how much money they spent on it, how much integration costs they endure, how much stock-based compensation they give themselves. It's kind of getting ridiculous. And I think it's time to sort of call out the consultants and say, listen, let's do this the right way. Let's start getting companies to focus on how they create shareholder value, not just how they create value for themselves. Make a quick $10 or $1,500 million and get out.
Really interesting stuff, David. And again, it points out how important it is for folks to understand the inner workings and to dig in and look at how things are being put together. Again, in the danger zone this week, traditional corporate consulting. But if you want to learn more about what David's talking about, you should understand that at New Constructs, they blog their danger zone picks. So check it out this week. You'll be able to go to newconstructs.com, see the blog, and make sure you've picked up the fine points on what we're talking about here. David Trainer, thanks so much for joining me on Money Life.
Great to be with you, Chuck, as always.
David Trainer is the president of New Constructs. I already told you, newconstructs.com, on Twitter, at New Constructs. Up next, our second big interview of the day. Tom Windmill from the Midas Fund will be here when Money Life continues right after this message.